Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howell, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Okay, Jonathan, we are in a room with five ladies. The two of us are not part of that five lady total.
Thank you for clarifying that.
They're two guys, so it's kind of unusual to be in a room where the female gender is outnumbering us in here, but boy, are we in for a treat. Amanda, Rachel, thank y'all so much for being here, for telling us so much about She Reads Truth and what's going on, and we'll look forward to some of the great comments. So thank you, Amanda, for being here.
Thank you. We're excited.
And Rachel, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And we also thank Vanderbloom and Search Group, who is our sponsor and who has been our long-term only sponsor from the very beginning.
Yep. Vanderbloom and Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. Their fall lead pastor and executive pastor coaching networks are now open for registration, and our very own Dr. Rainer will be speaking at the Fall Lead Pastor Coaching Network. If you're a lead pastor or an executive pastor looking for a peer roundtable coaching, check it out at vanderbloomen.com/coaching. It's limited to 16 folks, so apply today before it fills up.
All right. Are you going with me to that?
I am not. That is my wife's birthday.
I don't want you to go to that.
I will be with her and not with you.
Is that in Houston?
Yes.
All right.
I will not be in Houston.
Okay.
You will be.
Thank you, John. I understand. You're not.
My wife's birthday is everywhere, really, not just in Houston.
I understand that. I understand that you will not be able to go. Jonathan, I want you to give a formal introduction of Amanda and Rachel, and then we're going to get into some good informal discussion.
Rachel Myers is the CEO of She Reads Truth. She loves Chinese takeout, lives in Nashville, and is married with two kids.
Okay.
And she liked that, I guess. And then Amanda Bible Williams.
Of the whole bio, he picks out, she loves Chinese takeout.
Because
that's
Jonathan,
what you guys need to know about me.
Jonathan
that's really
loves
all.
Chinese takeout, too. Mm-hmm.
Jonathan loves food.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amanda Bible Williams. Yes, her maiden name is Bible. She lives east of Nashville over in the Mount Juliet area with her husband and three children. She has 2 7-year-old twins, Dr. Rainer, and she's the chief content officer of She Reads Truth and spends her days happily rearranging sentences and explaining that, yes, her name is really Bible.
I'm sure no one has ever mentioned that to her in your life.
I've never actually made that connection. That's interesting. It's true.
Let's start with the beginning. Let's talk about, and Amanda, let's go to you first. Let's talk about the early stages. And as you shared with me earlier when we were offline, you said it began with a hashtag from Rachel, and it is just... It's unbelievable. It's 5-year anniversary, just past 5 years. So
that's right.
Incredible. Tell us about it.
That's exactly what happened. Really, She Reads Truth was just born from the desire to read more of God's Word. So there were 4 strangers on the internet, on Twitter. Rachel was one of the 4 who had a conversation. I want to read God's Word more. I want to read God's Word every day. And they developed... Throughout hashtag She Reads Truth and started reading God's Word together. Myself and many other women, just thousands of women said me too, and started reading along with them. And that is the way She Reads Truth was born. It was the Lord's idea. It was not our idea. And so it has been, that hashtag was about 5 years ago. And since that time, hundreds of thousands of women have been reading God's Word daily. There is a She Reads Truth app. There are printed resources. And we exist only to read God's Word together and to invite women to join us.
So, Rachel, how did you discover Amanda? I mean, all of these women and from all over the world are connecting with you, and somehow, shortly thereafter, the hashtag, you met Amanda the Bible Williams.
Amanda the Bible Williams. Yeah, so the hashtag really became a thing June 1st, 2012, and she reached out to me in, I think, July, so really not long after, and just said, hey, we're in the same town. We should know each other. Let's get tacos. And that is how it was the beginning of a beautiful friendship. We had tacos and God's Word. We try to do tacos weekly still. We try to do God's Word every day. And that's our story.
Wow. You had shared with me, again offline, the story of the app.
Yeah.
And how the app came about. Tell us that again.
Oh, yeah. So really, She Reads Truth started with the hashtag and, you know, the trying to cobble together reading plans and, you know, unite this community around God's Word. We were, you know, hosting ourselves on a website, on other apps, and realized that it was time to sort of build our own house. But building our own house, or in this case, an app is really expensive. It was, at the time, our developer quoted us $35,000. And so, you know, wow. Once we regained composure, we decided, well, we're going to have to crowdfund that. Do you think that the she's, we call the she's who read truth with us the she's, do you think the she's would be into that? And we thought, let's give it a shot. We need to raise $35,000 in 30 days. That's the way Kickstarter works. And I remember the night before we launched the Kickstarter campaign, it was very busy in my downstairs. Everybody was just hustling to get all the things in order that it takes to launch a campaign. It's a lot more than you might think. And I slipped away, went upstairs into my kids' playroom, and just laid on my face on the carpet. And I remember, you know, just kind of crying out before the Lord and just recognizing the gravity of that moment of what we were doing, and just saying, Lord, this is big. This is your word. This is something to be reverenced. This is holy. What are we doing? What are we doing? Saying, like, let's put scripture on an app. Is that a thing that we should be doing? And so as I prayed, I asked the Lord, you know, please close this door if this is something that we shouldn't be doing, Lord. And Lord, give us confirmation if this is something we can do and should do. And Dr. Rainer, 24 hours from that prayer.
24 hours?
The whole $35,000 was funded.
That is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I love talking to the audience of Rainer on Leadership and the blog, TomRainer.com, about She Reads Truth. Mm-hmm. Because y'all have a lot of pastors, church staff, excited about your resources. A lot of resources are topical based. That's fine. But yours is just unashamedly text focus, biblical focus. Amanda, talk to us about this story about focusing on the text and what you're doing with your resources there.
Yeah, you know, we, as we've already spoke of, just our desire is to read God's word, and we're finding that is the she's who read with us, that is what they want as well. There are so many resources that provide teaching and topical teaching, and those things are good and they have their place. But what we really exist for, our heartbeat, is just to read God's word. And so we really believe that scripture is complete. We believe it is a means of God's grace to us, and that there's nothing that we can do to improve upon it or to make it more relevant. And so we really want everything that we create. You know, we do create printed resources, study books that invite women into Scripture, but the supplementary tools that exist in those books really just point back to Scripture. So we, even the devotionals that are on the app and the website, we look at those as doorways to Scripture. And so not a focus on the writer or even the reader, but just an honest engagement with Scripture that turns the reader's eyes back to Scripture itself. And so we really want women to feel invited to engage Scripture, and we want them to feel free to engage Scripture. And it seems radical at times to only open God's word with nothing but God's word and the Holy Spirit.
There you go.
But that is what we have been called to do, and that's what we do every day.
Terrific story.
Now, one of the things we hear when we talk to pastors from all over, we talk to pastors on a daily basis from all over the continent, you know, Canada, U.S., everything. And when they talk about She Reads Truth, the number one thing they say is, I can trust their resources to be biblical. So walk us through your planning for, like, a new study. I know you got a new one that's going on right now in Romans, and you just finished the Psalms of the Ascent.
Yeah.
So walk us through, like, the planning that goes into one of those studies.
That's actually a fun question to answer, and we haven't ever gotten to talk about that before, so that's neat.
Good job, Jonathan.
Yeah, great question asking.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
You just got the approval of Rachel.
And Dr. Rainer.
Yes.
Double. Yes. The process of creating a reading plan for She Reads Truth really begins months and months before, almost a year before. Romans is a great example. So that began with our pastors. We have, Amanda and I have pastors. We actually have a pastor on staff who works with us 30 hours a week, and then also pastors as an assistant pastor at a local church, actually in our office. And so when we gather to, you know, we call them the vision meetings for a given book of the Bible. So for Romans, the vision meeting looks like at least two pastors coming and teaching us about Romans. We will have come having read the book, having interacted with it ourselves. And then we have a research editor on our team who comes and helps us kind of bring, you know, what does literature have to say about this book? What does history have to say? How does that interact with this book? So there's just sort of a complete full approach to a book of the Bible, which is always really fun, lively. We've talked about, we want to do a podcast of our vision meetings because we walk away so pumped about that book of the Bible. But it's so we start with a vision meeting. We had one this morning, in fact, about the minor prophets. Which
Dr. Rayner?
Yeah, I know. We're going to interrupt her again because you want to talk about the minor prophets. And often I preach on the minor prophets and how I particularly love Haggai and Zechariah and the rebuilding of the temple and all that. It's not about me, Jonathan. Okay. It's about them.
Well, so I'll get you the thing.
Yeah. Well, you're not alone. But it is true. Even this morning in our vision meeting, we talked about how those are, you know, some of the cleanest pages in most people's Bibles. You know, fewest notes, fewest interactions with the minor prophets. It was interesting to learn about that this morning from our pastors.
That's very cool. Yeah. That was very cool.
Yeah. So, you know, from there, from the vision meeting, we take that and look at, like, how can we read through this particular book, inviting Scripture to interpret Scripture? How can we create a reading plan around this, bringing Old Testament, New Testament? What does Scripture say about this book of the Bible? And then after a couple of weeks, a long time of review, I say a couple of weeks because that feels like a long time in She Reads Truth hours because, I mean, we do about 15 reading plans a year. So it's about every three weeks that we start a new one. Yeah. But after that, we get to go to what's called the creative kickoff. And so the editorial team presents everything they know and love about, and they're excited about that particular topic, book of the Bible. And then lets the creative team run loose with, like, how to create a study book around it, how to market it to the she's, to the he's. That's what we call the people, the she's and the he's. And then there's the opportunity to present it now to the writers. And we have a whole writing team that writes the responses to the reading plan that we've created. And so there are a lot of little steps. A lot of times we come to that creative kickoff with big ideas about this is a really interesting element about Acts. Here are all the different characters. Can we do a character map? And so we ask the creative team to creatively communicate all kinds of things with maps, timelines, charts, infographics of all kinds. And that's sort of the fun additional element that we get to bring to offer the She Reads Truth community. And again, it all points back to God's Word.
Speaking of God's Word, we're at this little round table in my office, and I am staring at a Bible that has She Reads Truth on the case in which the Bible is enclosed. Is that weird, Amanda? I mean, does that just look strange right now?
It's super weird.
It still does, and I've seen this
Bible.
Never
going to get old.
I've seen this Bible of which you speak, and it does. It still is. It's weird to see that. I think had you told us at our taco meeting back in
2012,
2012, that there would one day exist a She Reads Truth Bible.
Just 5 years later.
We would have not believed you, not that you were not trustworthy, Dr. Rayner, but we would have been skeptical.
I wouldn't have believed me either.
We would have been skeptical. But I think we also would have maybe just hidden under a rock and just said, you know what, let's not.
Yeah.
But so it is an idea that we had to warm up to, quite frankly, because it is astounding to us that this exists and even the prospect of it existing, because we do hold God's Word, as do all of you in this room, just with such, not just high regard, but with the utmost regard. It is the breath of God. And so, and this process, it's been over 2 years in the making, and it has been challenging, it has been exhausting, but it has been fun and beautiful, and just the people that have worked on this resource, it's incredible. And so we're so grateful.
Yeah. And we approach the whole thing with just genuinely so much reverence. We were asked, would you include devotionals in this Bible? And we said, here are the terms. It cannot share a page with God's Word. There needs to be a box around it. It needs to be a different, it has to be sans serif if God's Word is serif. Like, we want it to be distinctly clear that there is a separation, that there is a big difference. And there, you'll see throughout the whole Bible that there are a lot of intentional designs to simply uphold God's word and not to join it in a way that makes it equal.
Yeah, and the response has been pretty good.
It's not been bad.
Okay, I'm going to add clarity to those two statements. I have been at Lifeway for going on 12 years and at a seminary as a dean before that. I have never seen anything like this. The release of this has captured the hearts of so many people that it could only be a God thing. It is the fastest growing Bible launch I have ever seen, period. And I know that you're going to resist this statement, but you two are rock stars.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you're right. We'll resist that.
I know you will.
But I'm over here shaking my head.
It has been something that I have never seen. And let me say this. And again, I don't want to put the focus on my organization, but I do want to say on behalf of my organization, Lifeway and BNH, thank you, because you've allowed us to be a part of something that it's a miracle of God. So thank you both for allowing us to partner with you in the endeavors that we're partnering with you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're welcome. I feel like I need to say you're welcome because it's the polite thing. But what I want to say is, I mean, we couldn't have done it without Lifeway and BNH. This was a huge project that if there was a headcount of the number of people it took to pull this together, it would be a crowd for sure.
Yep. Oh, wow. How long did it take for you guys to get everything kind of together for the Bible? Because it's got so much in it. I mean, you mentioned, you know, there's a few devotionals in there, but it's got the scripture illustrations.
Yeah.
It's got, you know, indices. It's got all kind of stuff. I mean, it's just everything.
Well, my daughter was 4 when we started working on the project, and she's a little over 7 now. So, yeah, it's been a long time coming, and it's been a long road of, you know, Amanda and I did choose to be involved in pretty much every detail down to, you know, the ribbon color and, you know, all of the different things. So it was a long process and a worthwhile process. But we are so excited about the way that this, it's not a devotional Bible. It's not a study Bible. It really is what we hope to be. I mean, hybrid is maybe the word to use. I don't know. But it's something that it's a Bible filled with really useful tools and really intentional tools. You know, even down to the type face was created for CSB Bible Serif, created in Denmark, and it was designed for optimal Bible readability. I mean, just fun little details. There are 4 million characters in Scripture, and we drilled down to like the ideal number of characters per line, the ideal margin widths, ideal kerning and leading and X height. I mean, we can get real nerdy about this, but this Bible is not just pretty. It'll handle really well.
Again, part of the honor of us is we are now releasing the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible, and this is part of the inaugural release. So there are just so many ways that I'm just grateful the way this happened. If this had happened a year ago, it couldn't have happened here.
Nope.
Because the CSB is just being released. So it is, we're honored. Okay, I'm going to ask y'all the personal question. Do y'all like each other?
You know.
Medium.
Fair to, yeah, no, we do.
Sorry,
we
have to
really
stop answering sarcastically. That's not helpful. And
yeah.
You can't be with me in the room.
I've got to tell the listeners that this is our second time recording this podcast.
The truth.
We had a little technical error. And if I can tell on Rachel just a little bit, her phone rang and she decided to throw it away.
So, I panicked.
And so we this has been the best podcast ever.
Yes.
Well, we've had Both a blast.
I threw it so hard it went across the room, under a door, and halfway into a closet. So don't worry, nobody will hear the phone ringing.
Nobody will hear that phone ringing. Tell us about y'all's relationship.
You know, we had tacos 5 years ago, and we've eaten lots of tacos since, and we just really enjoy each other.
Yeah, we
really
do.
The Lord. It's so interesting to me because everyone assumes that we had a friendship prior to She Reads Truth, but the truth is that She Reads Truth is the foundation of our friendship. Even in that first month of its existence, God used our love for His Word to knit our hearts together and to give us a friendship that it really is a partnership in so many ways. We are very different, but we are also very much alike in the ways that really count in foundational ways. And so we balance each other out really well. And I don't know how, because we have a lot of conflict. Yeah. We have a lot of decisions to make. We spend a lot of time together, and we love each other. So it's just it's a sweet friendship the Lord's given us. We're thankful. Yeah.
The Lord has given us a lot of kindnesses in these 5 years. Too many to number, of course, but one of those has been it wasn't our decision, but that he gave us each other, that he gave us, he gave She Reads Truth to leaders. We are equally responsible to pray. We are equally responsible to steward. We are equally responsible to veto a terrible idea. And that's been so wonderful that She Reads Truth hasn't had to be led by one person, that it could get very lonely. And even in the times when it is lonely, we have each other. And that is so kind of the Lord.
Rachel, tell me one of your favorite features of the She Reads Truth Bible.
Well, that's like picking a favorite child. You know, all of the features of the She Reads Truth Bible were created really intentionally. One of the things that excited me the most, though, in that process, a little bit before we started, one of my pastors was teaching me about what Thomas Chalmers did to disciple his own congregation. He was an old Scottish minister, and he would disciple his men through the book of Romans, choose a keystone verse for every chapter of that book, and then he went on to identify a keystone verse for every book of the Bible. And what that means is simply not the most memorable, not the most quotable, but the verse that says what's happening in this book of the Bible, what's the keystone of this book. And so, with the help of our pastors, we actually gathered and selected 66 keystone verses, one for each book of the Bible. And it's really cool because what we're doing, we're inviting the she's to memorize them. We're working on that with my family right now, even my seven-year-old. And we are working through memorizing them, because if you do, you're using scripture to outline scripture. Right. You are, even if, for example, Nehemiah, come let us rebuild Jerusalem's wall. That's what's happening in the book. Exodus is, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. So we're identifying what's happening in that book. And then, you know, you mentioned the illustrations, the artwork. It's not art for art's sake. It's not just to be pretty. Those illustrations are, you know, we engaged 15 different artists to hand letter or illustrate those 66 key verses. So they're functionally there. They're beautifully and functionally there to invite the reader to understand what's happening in that book.
That's great. Rachel, thank you so much for being here. This has been a blast. And I wish the listeners could know all the fun that's going on behind the scenes. But thank you so much
for
being here.
Thank you for having us.
Amanda, it has been a joy to get to know you. We met earlier, I realize that. But this is the first time we've had an extended conversation with both of you. So thank you too, Amanda.
It's been so fun. Thank you.
Well, Jonathan, I know that when we talk about biblical fidelity, that comes in the same breath as Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, our sponsor, and we thank them.
Yeah, Midwestern is one of the fastest growing seminaries in North America and exists to train leaders for the church. The local church is God's plan A for the proclamation of the gospel, and there is no plan B, and that's Midwestern's vision and heartbeat, equipping pastors and other ministry leaders who are called to expand God's mission in the world through the local church. At Midwestern Seminary, they train leaders for the church. Visit them online at mbts.edu and begin your ministry training today. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Okay, ladies, one last question. What's next?
A nap.
What's next at She
Reads
Truth?
Good question, Rachel.
Well, we are having a really fun time starting to include the kids. Yeah. It has been fun to start to think about even what a mission for Kids Read Truth is, to sort of equip them with biblical literacy and to invite them to join mom and dad around God's Word. And that's what's next.
That is incredible. We look forward to it all.
All right. Thanks again for joining us today here on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Google Play in your favorite podcasting app, and join us online at TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.